What is good, people, and welcome back to the Hype Report. I've got a very, very special guest today. Technically, my boss to a degree. Also owns a portion of the podcast. So please continue to watch so he doesn't bin it off. Calfreezy, welcome.
What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
I'm excited to be here. I'm part of the creation of it, but it's actually cool to be on it. I was there like, when's he going to ask me to come on? And then he messaged me, and I was there like, yes, let's do it.
Oh no, mate! It's a pleasure, mate. It's a pleasure. You're probably quite a fitting guest because although you're not a fashion creator, you are into your garments, your shoes. I saw you recently went on holiday, and I saw you rocking a pair of Travis Scott Reverse Mockers.
Yeah, man. I don't know why I paid that much money for a pair of shoes.
How much you pay?
So
for them?
I think it was it like £800, okay. or was it £1,000? It was something like that because I got it as well. So the reason why I don't know the exact answer is because I got that pair, and then I also got the Palace Puffer.
Yeah,
and I messaged you about that when it came out, and I was like, I really want this.
Yeah.
But it was funny that I got it because I thought, oh, that balaclava looks really cool.
Yeah,
and then I put the balaclava on me, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, what am I doing? So I packed that thing back up, opened the zip in the back, put it back in there, and I'm there like, you scrap this.
Bro, what color do you get? The cream, the white one?
No, I got the blue.
The blue one. Okay, yeah. Okay. I got the red one. The red one's probably the shittest one, which is quite disappointing. Yeah, did I get it retail? I haven't got it retail, but I wanted to go for the black one, and I missed that. But that was like a really hype drop this year, last year.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. So I really wanted I think they call it the stone color one,
the cream one,
I guess you're referring to. And I really wanted that one. But then I saw Will & Nee post a picture with the stone one. And I literally messaged the guy that was sorting it for me. And I was like, do not get the stone one. We need to go for the second color. And I was like, I think I like the blue one, the second. I didn't want to go for a black one just because I feel like all my puffer jackets are black.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I have to admit, even though the balaclava thing definitely doesn't suit me at all, the actual quality of that jacket like surprised me so much because I'll be honest with you, and look, this might upset your fans. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to speak my opinion. I've bought a few Supreme pieces and the quality of those have been so poor.
Yeah.
I've been so disappointed with that. And so I just told myself I'm not buying any more Supreme. And so I kind of maybe mislabeled Palace like that, but I was sort of expecting the same thing with that. But I got, I don't know about their other things, but when I got this puffer jacket, I was like, wow, this actually probably is my best, like the best jacket I've owned. This is amazing.
Yeah, no, it is fire. I think to comment on the point about the Supreme and Palace thing about the quality, it's definitely been, we now live in an era where it's so easy to produce clothes and the quality of the garments have been, like for smaller brands, the quality of the garments have been surreal for smaller brands. So it's kind of forced Supreme and Palace recently to improve a little bit. So yeah, like a couple of seasons ago, the Supreme stuff was poor compared to what it is now. I think Supreme are really on the, like a come up from that, which is nice to see, man.
To be fair, the Supreme stuff that I buy, we are talking like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I've noticed that recently, like I've found a lot of these smaller brands out there. Not necessarily small, but not the big ones that everyone would know about. And like the quality has just been unbelievable. And I'm just there like, wow.
Yeah.
Like it actually makes me so happy when I receive something from a smaller company and the quality is just sick.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, you know, in smaller companies, they sometimes need to cut certain corners to make ends meet and stuff like that. So I'm very much aware of that. And I kind of don't mind that. And I sign up to it. So when I do get something that is just like elite level quality, I'm just there like, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's that again, another massive positive of things being more accessible in this space. It's like smaller companies and brands are allowed to create these kind of better pieces that wouldn't have been able to be possible without the kind of access. So you mentioned about you had someone source you the Palace and Travis's.
Yes.
I've always wanted to know, because I know how like footballers do it, because I'm friends with not like any prem footballers, but like a couple of footballers in like the lower leagues. And I know that they like have plugs, right?
Yeah.
And they do not go anywhere else. They like stick to their guy, they who's sourcing them or whatever. And they all use the same guy. So how do YouTubers get
hold of
shit?
I feel like we're talking about the same person here. It might like, I have the same thing. Or well, I mean, to be fair with you, I don't usually go for a lot of like these really hype pieces for the most part. There'll be a couple times, maybe once or twice a year, I'll sort of catch up like I did with like the Travis's. I was like, I've seen these around for ages now. I just want a pair. But it definitely is like what I'll do is I'll put in a group chat like who sorts you guys for stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll probably give me one or two people and then I'll just go and pick one of them. drop them a DM on Instagram and then just pray that the stuff's legit. Because I feel like the reps now are so...
Like,
they're so good that, I mean, yeah. I'll be 100% honest with you. You would be able to fool me. Like, and I think you that's why you also have to have a lot of trust in the person that you're messaging.
Yeah, man, 100%. I mean, I get fooled, and Meg over there owns a portion of Kicksforce with me, our reselling company. And it's like a fucking nightmare to legit check stuff these days. And that's someone like myself who's literally in the space every day for the last however many years. It's wild, mate. Like it's and it's at the point now where it's so bad. Well, I don't know if you've seen in my recent vids, but there was a case a couple of weeks ago where Nike are now suing small replica TikTok creators. So they put a full on public lawsuit out there, and they're now suing them, which is mad. And these guys, right, by the way, like 100K on TikTok, which is quite small, like quite a small following, respectably, like for TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
So
what do they do? Sorry, they like promote.
Yeah, so they promote reps, and in the process of doing so, they earn a commission from these, like from Panda Buy and other places like that, which are the fake marketplaces.
What do you think about it?
I think's wrong, bro. My DM, my emails are full of people of like replica companies trying to hit me up. And really? Obviously I'll never ever do it, but I mean, the money must be insane, but.
It's weird. It's hard to like feel bad for a company like Nike because they're so massive and it is what it is. But at the end of the day, it's somebody's work that's being ripped off.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has still wrote on a piece of paper from the dot.
And they've worked their whole life to get that job at Nike. Yeah. And, you know, they, you know, so I totally understand from like an artistic point of view that, yeah, reps. But then I think there is also the counter argument, which is that like this stuff has just become so inaccessible that people just want to be able to wear it. So I get both sides of it. And I think it's just a really sticky one. But I also think that Nike probably had to do something about it just because of like the size of that market is just getting massive, and it's eating into their.
It's not just a massive market, it's the popularity of it. So when I started like getting into this space, if you wore reps, you'd be like criticized, you'd be called a weirdo, you'd be, you know, like hounded, if that's the right word. But if you rock them now, and in the comments, all you have to do is look at the comments on my vids, you literally scroll through and people are like, bro, just wear reps, man. Like it's literally,
really?
and they're celebrating buying reps. And I do get it, because like you said, it is buying retail now is one, very expensive because Nike have increased the price a lot and we're in a cost of living crisis. And two, people do just want to fit in. Like that's probably why I initially got into it anyways, because my mate, I just wanted to fit in with my mates. That's probably why everyone gets into it initially, you know?
For sure.
And yeah, I mean, how can you criticize someone for that? But at the same time, like you said, it is chaos, bro. Like it's...
Yeah, the whole space is just, it's so interesting to me because, I mean, you just had to look at some of my videos previously. Like, I'm not necessarily like a fashion guy by any means. Recently, I'd say in the last maybe like 18 months, I've definitely taken more interest into it and wearing nicer things. But at the same time, I've also been trying to like I mentioned to you, look for these smaller brands, maybe these lesser known ones, and just buying off of them. I am a bit of a sucker for an Instagram ad.
Yeah.
Which is like, I hate that I get baited into them because like I have had some big misses with those, and that's where maybe the quality, you know, if I get an ad too many times, I won't buy it. That might sound weird because I just think you have a fair bit of money budget, to be pumping and it just feels off.
Yeah.
Whereas if I get it maybe like once, I might like bookmark it and then I'll stumble across it again later, but not the ad. And then that's when I'll go, okay, like I'm gonna take a look at this.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I think it's nice to be able to, like I said earlier, like to be able to support the smaller brands in the space, because obviously financially it is tough. Speaking about smaller brands, I know you have launched multiple merch kind of brands and stuff. Talk to me about them.
Yeah, so I have 165th Floor. Now that very much was, look, we want to create just clothes that you can wear out and around that don't necessarily, they're like, you know, a big logo on the front or anything like that. But I wouldn't say it was like a clothing line or anything that I was trying to do. It was a bit of a weird one. I guess I tried to make merch that didn't feel like merch, right?
Yeah.
And it did I won't lie, it did do really, really well. But I want to tip my hat to any up and coming people making clothing lines. It is a slog.
Yeah.
Like everyone there is like, oh, everybody's got a clothing line. And it's like, it's so difficult. Just in terms of the sampling process, going through, like, you know, you'll think you have everything, then the order comes through and it's not how you said it was going to be. Like, you can be out of pocket, but with a lot of money very quickly. And then not only that, but the way the world works is that if you're not ordering large quantities, you're not going to get great prices on them. So you almost feel more inclined to get more quantity for a lower cost per unit.
Mm.
And then you just get into a bit of a weird trap. I mean, like I said, we were very fortunate that ours sold out. I think it was in a day, but
that's great. How many drops have you done?
We've only done like two or three drops, and we haven't dropped for I think a year now.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was it was just taking up too much of our time. Mm. Like, financially it was pretty good, but we've recently brought somebody in to now head it all up and is going to be taking it on full time.
Nice,
because
nice.
We get so many messages, particularly about, we did like a blacked out 165 hoodie, yeah. And people just seem to really like that. And it annoys me that it's not just always for sale. I think one of the things, and a really popular strategy, is that people do like these limited drops and they intentionally keep it low. I think for the next ones, I'm just going to sack that off,
yeah,
and just, you know, have it always on, because even for me as well, when I'm looking at certain clothing line, it just pisses me off when I go on somewhere and it just says sold out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just there like, why? Just get more. And so I think I'm going to abandon my own strategy and just put it up there. If people like it, people like it. And you know, some people do say that the way to blow something up is just keep making products. And then when you get that one product that people really love, just keep making more of that,
yeah,
in different variations, whatever it might be.
Yeah, but the your 165th floor merch was good shit as well. Like, it was, I remember, yeah, coming in, and I think I don't think you were there. Elliot was showing me around, mm-hmm, and he showed me like a box of the hoodies and stuff, and they were like good, like really, yeah, really good. And like you said earlier, like, it isn't YouTube merch. Like, that is not, like, it's so different, bro. Like, the gap now between, like, probably back in the day when you were like, you know, like posting like every day on YouTube or whatever, yeah, it was, like, now it's crazy, like the difference in what you would class as merch, yeah, or a brand.
I mean, right? I have to give credit to Chip for a lot of that. I mean, he's very much a perfectionist in that sense, and there was no way we were ever dropping a Gildan Fruit, yeah, Loom hoodie, yeah, any of that stuff. Like, it just, there was no way. Like, this was cut and sewn. Like, we did all that. Yeah, we made changes to the garment and everything. We had a guy come in, measure and tape. Like, we did the full thing because we wanted it to feel, and we wanted people to want to wear this thing. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to kickstart it, because I'm still seeing people wearing it in videos and stuff like that, that I would just be there like, bro, that hoodie is like a year and a half old and, yeah, you're still wearing it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. And I guess one of your mates, Calyx, is a very big brand in the space at the moment, in No Two Ways, and he's, yes, probably had to master that art of breaking the barrier between YouTube merch and being like an independent brand. And how is that being, like, watching that from the outside?
Yeah, it's sick, man. Look, I love, like, I always want to support my friends doing things. It's always going to be a very difficult sort of tag to get rid of, is that, like, YouTuber thing. Like, oh, is this just like YouTuber merch, but for shoes? And I know he's done a good job of moving away from that. And even just speaking to him, I don't think he'll mind me saying, but, you know, he definitely has a core customer base that just isn't YouTube related. Like, he could never promote on YouTube videos or anything like that, and only use maybe his newsletter or whatever it is, and he will sell. So he's really managed to build that sort of brand identity, and I know that he's like, that is his main project. You know, he's still doing YouTube, he's still there, but his time and effort goes into No Two Ways, and he's a big perfectionist too, and I think you need that in that industry.
Yeah, 100%. But he's killed it, man. Like, I've never actually tried building a sneaker brand, but I do know to an extent how difficult that must be and how much money it costs, like, financially, to go shoe making as opposed to garment making.
Yeah.
And bro, like, that guy has killed it, and Rocky as well, who is going to come on the pod soon.
You got to get him on, man. He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, really, bro, smart. He's so cool.
And
he's
honest, and again, I don't think Cal minds me saying this, he absolutely lucked out, might make your own luck, but he lucked out by coming across someone like Rocky. Yeah, he's super talented.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But the best thing I know two ways, right, is I spoke about it like on a previous pod, but it's not the silhouette of a design or even the quality of the shoe. They're all great, but it's the actual like experience and the extras you get with the shoe. So like, I imagine you get like friends and family pairs from him all the time. And when they send me some stuff, like, and Aiden will know, is he's rocking a pair now, and you are as well.
But
when you open them up, it's this amazing customer experience. Yeah. Like you feel like you're buying from a $1 billion franchise, as opposed to a, I mean, I'm sure they've got a good financial backing, but I'm like now, but I mean, it's still no way near their competitors in terms of what they've got going on in the background budget wise. And if, you know, full credit to them for doing that, because you bring it out, it comes in a packaging box, which is branded, a little bit of No Two Ways branded, and then like the actual like box, which is delivered to you by the Royal Mail. And then you open it up, and then the box has got a sleeve on it, branded. And then the box, the actual shoe box is branded, like covered in No Two Ways branding.
Yeah.
And the paper is, and then the small designs on the shoe. And it's like little things like that, that sneakerheads and people who love shoes will buy into.
Right.
As opposed to like just the hype. You know, like the shoe is so versatile. It's so sick, mate. So
yeah. I think, yeah, he's doing an amazing job with that. But he's one of those guys where it's just never enough.
Really?
You know, or yeah. Yeah. I think he always wants more. It's yeah. I put it this way. I think working for him would be amazing, but you gotta love shoes.
You gotta live that lifestyle.
Which, you know, I guess as a startup, you need those type of people around you. So.
Yeah, 100%.
So in terms of smaller brands, because I would class No Two Ways obviously as a smaller brand in the grand scheme of things, do you have smaller brands out there that you're there like, I go to these up? Because I guess a lot of the stuff that you want to cover and that you talk about is hype.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about, we're talking about Nike, you're talking about New Balance, you know, these big ones. Do you ever wear/get into smaller brands that aren't as big, or do you just tend to steer clear?
Definitely, bro. Definitely. In terms of content, like it has to be about a hype shit, especially on the main account, because TikTok is my main, like the main daily, right? So that's got to be about shit that is popping and people know, just so I can get the views. Unfortunately, if I made I do it sometimes on like the second account where I review smaller brands. But in terms of like the main TikTok, yeah, it kind of just has to be the hype stuff. Yeah. However, I do rock personally loads of smaller brands.
Sick.
And that's because I get sent a lot of them, and two, I'm friends with just naturally a lot of people in the space who have a lot of stuff going on, and I do promote it on like the Instagram stories and stuff like that, like just completely free of charge. And I had a series on my second TikTok account, which is quite a small account, it only has like 100k, but I literally do like it's called a small brand series. So they send me an item of clothing, I review it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And a couple of the brands have gone on off that series. I mean, one of them blew up. They had like 1-2 mil views. And the first brand that I showed on that video, like really, really popped. Like really popped. I'm still in touch with them now. And I mean, they now have like 40k followers on Instagram, sold 6,000 pairs on 6,000 units in their recent drop. And that's not all because of me at all, but initially I imagined a little bit of the budget to go onto the next drop was because I made that vid, and that was sick. So that was dope.
I was gonna say that must be a pretty nice feeling though, just in general being able to help out, because like at the end of the day, Nike don't give a shit if you're fucking twerking for their shoes. So it's cool. I like seeing I guess just as I've got older, I've just become more interested in some of the smaller brands, but now especially more because I know the effort that it takes to put into it.
That's true.
But don't get that. There's a lot of shit out there too.
There is
a lot of crap out there, because I think people also look at some people that have come up, like Clint and what he's done, and they just look at that and they go, "Oh man, I could do that."
Yeah.
And so they give it a go, and then they're like, "Well, yeah, you probably found out pretty quickly that."
Yeah. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You've got to have a whole philosophy if you're building a clothing brand, like a whole like route to right to the top, top to bottom. You've got to know what you're doing. But yeah, there is one subject I really wanted to speak about was that last year, especially, and I think this year as well, sport and fashion are going to become very close, and they were already very, very close, but they really kind of merged last year, especially. And we got the Paris Olympics this year, which is the fashion capital of the world. and the Olympics, and then we got Euro 2024 as well. But one thing that really popped off was kind of golf and streetwear. I know you're a big golf man.
I am. I am a big, look, I love golf. And this is what I'm wearing right now, actually, is a golf brand.
Yeah.
So this is Malbon. Do you mind, would you mind just quickly pulling up who owns it? I think it's Schoolboy Q owns this brand. But I think it's them, and they did like a collab, I guess, or licensed Coca-Cola stuff. And yeah, like I really like a lot of their stuff. And there's so many cool golfing brands. There's another one called Bogey Boys as well. And I think that's Macklemore's. And there's, yeah, like, I just feel like the golf aesthetic is sick.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like new money, the old money look, with a bit of a streetwear attached to
it. Yeah, man. I mean, Jordans have been, since I remember I had a pair of Jordan Military Blues 2016, and they were a golf shoe, and they were sick, man. So there's like some really big things coming on in the space.
Maybe you know what? Maybe it might not be Schoolboy Q that owns it. He might just be like an investor in it or something like that. Yeah, put Schoolboy Q. I could have just got it completely wrong, to be fair. I don't know.
So how long have you been playing golf for?
I played it a little bit as a kid, and then I stopped playing. It requires a lot of patience.
Yeah, man.
As a sport. 100%. But I love it. And then I got back into it last summer. And by last summer, I mean 2022.
Yeah.
And that was, then I got addicted again from that. Brought it into 2023, and then I started buying. You know what is a bit of a shame, though, when it comes to the fashion stuff? A lot of these sick collabs and golf clothes are all US-based.
Oh,
the UK
shit.
Is just a little bit behind right now in terms of just in terms of fashion, like golf fashion, all this sort of stuff. And it is kind of annoying because I'd have to pay like a mad amount on taxes to get
sent across here.
The shipping is a ball. Like, I'm spending a fortune getting the clothes over. But yeah, I don't know. Like this, it's definitely making moves because Malbon have just signed their, maybe it's not their first, but a big golf professional player.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be wearing their clothes on tour, like in the tournaments. And that is going to be like a really big thing because it just gets completely dominated by the usual suspects on there. There is rumors that Nike are sort of completely exiting golf entirely, which would be a travesty because I have like, they make really cool golf shoes. They made actually Travis golf shoes.
Yeah.
And so I got a couple pairs of those.
I
got a couple pairs because I wanted to have one pair that I would wear and then one pair I was just going to keep and I'll probably end up wearing when those get messed up. So I bought a couple of those.
Nice.
But yeah, Nike make really cool golf stuff. And so I'm going to be really gutted if they are like completely exiting or I don't know exactly what the situation, they haven't announced anything about it, but yeah, that would be kind of sad.
Yeah, mate, I'm buzzing with the whole kind of the sport and streetwear merger in general is sick, but golf especially is really, really cool. It's like it's now deemed to be cool. So I played golf until I was in like a golf academy until I was like 13, 14.
Sick.
And I haven't played for a while, but I'm getting back into it slowly now. But just to see the progress it's made from then when I played, right? When I was younger and I used to get like, not bullied playing golf at all, but like-
Nah, back in the day, it was not cool.
Yeah,
not
cool.
You might not get bullied, but you get the mick taken out of you.
Especially when I was at like football, right? I'd be at a football game. Chad, what did you do the night before? I was like, well, I didn't do anything. I was playing golf. And then they were like, well, that's fucking weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, how old are you? So I was like, well, you know, it's actually
now
right.
It's cool though, I'm telling you. Because, and I want to say, one of the reasons why I think it's cool, obviously the fashion in particular in the US has gone up, but I actually, and I really do believe this, is the fact that YouTube golf has gone up. And when things start getting popular on YouTube, it sort of makes its way down to the youth. And now it's, as far as I'm aware, it's cool to play golf.
But you've got like pro golfers like Minwoo Lee, who is really, like, I know I've seen him in some of your vids or whatever, but he's like really like, I don't even know how you would say it, but he's on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And he bangs out TikTok vids and
he knows all the trends, the memes.
Yeah. And that's like, no OG golf pro would be doing shit like that. So that is, mate, it's changing, man. And that probably a lot of sports are like that. But to see such an traditional OG sport like golf. Like, I think my dad made me play golf because he wanted me to get a job. Because, like, you know, it's such like a corporate networking thing. When you're working in the city or something, you go and play golf instead of having a meeting or whatever. Uh-huh. I think that's probably what he wanted me to do. It's probably to, because I don't, like,
it worked like, for me. Like, I made, when we did our investment round for the Fella Studios, I got a fair bit of my investment off the golf course.
Yeah, that's
so it works, ladies and gents. You are making an investment into your future by playing golf.
Yeah,
do it. And it's also a great excuse. I tell my girlfriend, oh, I got business meeting today, and she's there like, let me guess, it's on the golf course. And they're like, look, they decided to do it, not me.
Yeah, I think my one of the businesses is probably at the point we could do that, but one of them, who the lady behind the camera owns a portion of, we're probably not at that stage.
A portion? Nah, she's swimming. She's hot. Hey, it's 50-50 straight down the middle. He's there like, wait, we haven't decided that yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But I don't know if we're at the stage where I could go and whack some expenses on the golf course.
That's what you need to do. That's a problem. If you don't know the login to the bank account, I would highly recommend sorting that out.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of a gray.
Yeah, I don't know. Golf is sick. I love golf.
Yeah, sweet.
For a while now, but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's another sport out there that has, in the fashion world, really cottoned on the way golf has recently.
Mm.
I don't know. Sometimes you get like these weird sports and they end up.
But there's been a lot of collaborations with football. So Arsenal did, I can't even pronounce the name because I'm chronically dyslexic.
I'm not even, are you an Arsenal fan?
No, not at all.
Let me tell you, Arsenal, they rinse. Every month there is a new, an 18th kit coming out of the season. They have so many kits. I mean, part of me is jealous of it, right? But another part of me is just there like, you lot are taking your fan base to the cleaners, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is cool. But yeah, okay. So look, there's a Maharishi, Adidas, Arsenal. Like,
so that was recently.
I swear to God, there's so much Arsenal stuff out there. Maybe it's just, it's sick and I'm just jealous. Maybe it's, I'm coming from a
place. They also did one with Human Race. Do you remember that?
Is that Pharrell's thing?
Yeah. And they released, I think it was Juventus one. I think it was, yeah, that was it.
That does look good though.
Yeah. That's sick, isn't it? Yeah, they picked good. Like a bunch of clubs but like AC Milan a couple of years ago did Off-White, which is massive. I guess Milan is
Jordan again. Jumped in with PSG as well. Yeah. That's the kind of,
yeah, a palace, like a London streetwear brand that was started in 2011 or whatever it was, did one with Juve where Ronaldo was actually rocking it, which is mad.
That's cool. And then I swear, you can correct me on this, but Undefeated or like Birmingham.
Yeah, that's so
how
weird.
The hell, yeah, has that happened, really weird. By the way?
That's true. That's a good one.
By the way, I love Undefeated's logo on this top. It looks so good.
Yeah, that's hard.
Like, that looks amazing. It's just, this is the weirdest sporting collab, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But to me, this just feels so random.
Yeah, I saw someone go like do a fashion vlog where they were like, this American guy went into an Undefeated store in the States and he was like, bro, what jersey is this, man? Like, what is this? And it was just like a random Birmingham jersey in like the middle of New York or something.
Oh, I think you already spoke about this, but you seen the clip of Kanye West in the old...
The Portsmouth
goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Have you spoken about that yet?
Well, he's done it twice now. So he had one, well, he spotted in the Portsmouth kit like a couple months ago, which was an actual like legit premiership when they were in the Prem kit. And then he posted one about 5 days ago and he had a vintage shirt maker remake the shirt. And I saw the Twitter and the company who did it, a really small company, were like, what the fuck, Connie's wearing our shit? And it's just, he just made like a one of one and it's like a remake of this is it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know enough about Portsmouth's history to comment on it, but I don't know.
They quote retweeted a picture of it though, going like Kanye knows best or something like
that. Yeah, that's mad. That's mad. So yeah, this random guy just... Well, not the random way, but
that's interesting. So the context is that this is a remake of the original. That's the thing. So many people on Twitter, that's usually where I see stuff, was they're like, I don't understand how he got this because there was only like it's a keeper kit. And I think there was only like 10 of them made or something like that. So the fact that it's actually just been, he's had it commissioned or remade or something.
That's what I saw. I think one of his team just must've hit him up, but that was the original one that everyone went crazy for initially.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a little bit more like well-made or whatever.
Yeah.
But the other one, a couple of days ago, it was just, out of the blue and no one had a clue. I love
seeing stuff like that where celebrities, you're just like, this is such a niche thing. Like, how are you that locked in?
Mate, he just does this. Cool. Mate, have you seen what he's been up to recently in terms of his new Instagram posts?
Bro,
he's put some very interesting revealing. What?
I mean, fair enough. Do your thing. I remember if someone put it in the group chat, and I was there like, this has to be on the edge of Instagram's like terms. Yeah,
because I was like, oh god, I can't wait to do a video on this. And then I mentioned my editor. I was like, can we do this? And then he was like, well, we're gonna have to cover the whole thing up as just in case, because TikTok are really strict on that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and obviously don't want to risk anything. So I was like, because I didn't want to get in any trouble, I was gonna leave it, because if you blur it out, the whole picture's, there's nothing, you have to blur the whole thing.
Yeah.
Everything's on show. But he's released these new Yeezy boots that is like stocking.
No, the sock thing.
Yeah, massive long things. But
didn't he get in a bunch of crap because there's another brand that have a really similar one?
Oh, really? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not Balenciaga. So someone's kicking off about the Yeezy sock or whatever it's called. Yeah, is it called the Yeezy sock? Is it
it's like a $200 sock that you can pre-order and it takes like 4 months to get here.
It was something about the design being really similar.
Yeah, the Yeezy pods.
Yeah, I don't know. Would I be wearing those? I don't think so.
I don't know. See,
would you wear those?
Not now, but I mean, in a year's time when everyone's rocking them, I probably would have to buy a pair, but I don't know, man. I probably not. But
that's one of the, it's so funny, the amount of times that I've like slagged things off and then they've just become kind of the norm and then I end up like wearing them or using it, whatever it is. Yeah. It's shocking.
This was in the summer when everyone thought Kanye was a clone, was his face. Aiden, go back to the original picture, right? So whatever one, his face looked huge, like, and it wasn't like people, everyone was like debunking it. They had like TikTok doctors were like, this isn't just weight gain. This is like, like
something has happened to him.
Yeah. So he's,
yeah. I don't, yeah, Kanye West is going through his thing right now.
Yeah, but he's been.
Those are celebrities. In terms of YouTubers, which YouTuber in the UK do you think has the best fashion sense? I'm curious to know this from somebody that knows.
I should have prepared that. I don't know. I'm not actually.
Is there somebody
sure
that you think, like, if I say like fashion sense in our world, in our side of YouTube, he dresses well.
I don't know about dress as well, but someone who has worn some cool pieces is Harry Rota Shaw. So he has worn some crazy shit. So he had, like, because I pick up on things just in like random Cyberman videos that no one else will know. Like when they went into a store, Harry bought a Supreme hoodie that I had like years ago. But he also had which I actually contacted him directly. I went through someone to contact him about because I wanted to buy it, was the Stone Island Heat Reactive Thermo Ice Knit. And bearing in mind, this is a $2,000 jumper. A handful in the world have been made. There's not many about. And the guy, Harry responded to the guy, I because I don't know him personally, obviously, but like, anyway, he responded to me through here, this guy, and he was like, oh bro, I was asking to buy it. And he was just like, oh bro, I don't know where it is. I don't know. Like, I just don't have a clue where it is.
Yeah. So when did you message him that?
This has been about a year ago. A year ago.
So when we moved out of, it's so funny that you bring that up, because when we moved out of our flat, I think it's 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
He was like clearing out all of his stuff and he got that out and he we were looking at it and we were like, oh, do you remember this? Like that Stone Island thing. And we were just there like, what a lot of shit. Like he was there, I don't know why I bought it. He thought it was cool once. He did it like once and then the novelty wore off and he put it away. And I think as well, he cut off the badge. Because he has a big thing about like buttons and like things have to be very particular. If there's one thing, or like, I'm pretty sure it's like the metal rings in a hoodie around here, he just won't wear a hoodie if it's got the metal ringlets.
Yes.
Or like the end of it, like these bits have like, there's loads of little things that he really doesn't like. So he loved this Stone Island top at the time. But he didn't like the badge because it had the buttons holding it in or something. Yeah. So he just got rid of it.
Fuck.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, he definitely in that move, I have no idea what he did with that.
That's
thing.
Crazy.
So it doesn't surprise me that he lost it. He would have lost it in moving out of that.
He's going to piss some people off by putting that public. Because I...
Really? Oh no, I've dropped him in it.
I put a picture of it. I finally got hold of it. I milked a whole TikTok series on it. And at the time, I wish they had the creative beta fund on it. You know, the new TikTok monetization. Because the series must have... I don't know how many views that got. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous at the time. Anyway, I finally got hold of it, spent literally £2,000 on it, got hold of one, through someone else who had to get it from someone else. And I made it, take an Instagram picture of it, and I put it on like this dirt, right? Because it's kind of orange, but it was a nice dirt. It was like leaves everywhere on top of dirt. And I got massive, about 4 messages from like Stone Island collectors and like real like proper archive warriors, and they were like, bro, you're a bastard, how could you put it on the floor?
I was like oh my god,
I pissed like all the real hardcores off.
Oh yeah, I don't know, maybe he didn't do it, maybe I just made up that whole thing, who knows. But you're right, Harry has always had, he had as well this really sick jumper, and it was like a half and half stitch, and it was made by a designer on Instagram who takes like two things and like merges them.
Oh, sick. Yeah, I've seen stuff like that.
You've seen stuff like that? And he had a really cool one. And I can't remember what exactly it was. Oh, that's going to annoy me. You know what? Maybe somebody watching this will, because he's worn it in videos before. But that, and when I saw that, I was like, that's really cool. He's always worn like slightly different things, but never, he will rarely wear like heights. Bits, but he just finds like cool things.
I
got something from Tokyo when I went out there many years ago, and it was just at like, I don't know if it was a market or I forget exactly where it was, but it was like a Coca-Cola branded blue sweater, and it had Coca-Cola in red and thing. And just for years, I remember him asking me like, yo, let me have that. And I really liked it at the time. So I was like, no. I think now I still have it, and I should just give it to him. I don't even know if he'll still like it anymore. But yeah, he's always been one to just like really unique things. But people always say that he is one of the best dressed in the Sidemen. The one thing that he is bad for though is he just wears like joggers.
Yeah. He's like, not the top
half is always elite. But he'll then just go wear some joggers with it. But that honestly sums him up.
Yeah.
Like he's not putting things on to look cool for anyone. He just puts it on because he likes it. And then he also wants to make sure he's comfy.
Yeah, man. Like, that's the best way to be. Yeah. The best way to be. Yeah, I remember he had the white and blue Anorak Supreme Lacoste.
Yeah.
He rinsed many videos, man. That's so nice. I had that as well. It's fucking sick. On the subject of kind of YouTubers.
Yeah.
Who is the worst dressed?
Vicstar, man. Vicstar. Do you know? Okay, well, let me put this. Vicstar's not the worst dressed, actually. Like, I would never look at him and be like, oh, you've dressed, like, you look bad today. Like, he'd never that. But he's just, it's copy-paste every single day. Mm. And he wears, like, it will be... Usually, I think he's still, I don't know if he still gets the skinny jeans out, but like it'll be that, like a t-shirt that says like Givenchy across the front and then a bomber jacket.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know what? It's not even a bad dress sense. It's just like the default DJ look.
Yeah.
Like old DJs wear what he wears.
Yeah.
And I mean, fair enough. Like he is going into DJ stuff. But for me, I feel like I could always tell you what he's going to rock up wearing.
He's a Versace fan as well, isn't he? I've seen him.
It's all those ones. It's like Louis V, Versace, Givenchy. Like, it's all that. And so he's got that. But let me tell you, like, JJ, KSI, he had his moments.
Yeah.
Of some very questionable outfits.
I remember I think they were red or gold, the Louboutins, and they were the bright gold things. And he wore them to like a red carpet event, and that picture went crazy.
He used to have a brand, and they used to make these shoes with like a zip on the side.
Yeah.
You remember those ones? And they were quite expensive. And I remember one time he had his Lamborghini, and I think it was right at the beginning when it was still orange. And so it was still quite new to him. Anyways, we went to Selfridges. I mean, we're talking, by the way, this is like 8 years ago, maybe longer than that. We went to Selfridges, and that shoe brand with the zip It's like, is it Zanetti? Is it Zanetti?
I'm not sure. Oh, I mean, I know the ones you're referring to.
Please try and find it because anyway, we go to Selfridges. We walk in. The guy recognizes him from previously. Yeah. And he goes, I want all the ones that have come out since I was last here. The guy literally rocks up. Yeah, is this it? Yeah. This is the brand. Giuseppe Zanotti.
Oh, man.
Right? And it was these type of things, but they also did like high tops.
Yeah, yeah.
All this. And he went in there. He said, give me all the new ones. And they brought out like 10 new ones. He comes out with 10 shoe boxes in Selfridges. And I'm there like, are you serious? Like, he just went in there and just said that. And then that was it. Like, it was the quickest shopping experience ever. Went in there. Yeah, see them like white ones.
Yeah.
You recognize him wearing those, right?
Yeah.
The high tops. Yeah, those right there. He used to wear those, but in every colorway possible. And yeah, he must have spent a fortune there. But fuck it. Like, I mean, you don't even have to go that far back to see. A few years ago, 100% I would have put myself up for this for this award, because oh my god, man, I had some howlers.
You know, on the subject of a clip that went viral of KSI last year that went around like the sneaker community, was he actually gave away, Aiden, you can pull them up, but a pair of Red Octobers he didn't know about to a charity shop. Yeah. And they're a 10 grand shoe, a Nike Air Yeezy 2. And that was like baffling. I made a video on that. And that was crazy. Look at that, right? From Dubai, them dead stock now, 44K.
On StockX, yeah, that's mental. Yeah, I don't know. They were, he just does his own thing. And you know what I quite like about, I guess, that's the alarm to tell you that JJ fucked it by not holding on to the pair.
This is like the third time this has happened in the podcast now.
Yeah. But that's the thing about that JJ and Harry is that they just wear for them.
Yeah.
Don't really give a crap about anything else. And, you know, there's times where we've messaged him in the group chat, like, bro, that is awful. But the next week he'll just be wearing it again because he literally just wants to, wear it. And I think ultimately that's what it's all about.
That is
just
the best
wear
attitude,
what you
want
to wear.
Yeah.
We'll all look back in 20 years anyways and just think, what the hell,
whatever it was,
whatever
it
is, man.
yeah No, I'm 100% the same. I think that's definitely the best attitude to have. I'm a whole lot happier being a fashion creator with that mindset now than like I was like 2 years ago when I first started trying to get into it. I was like, I've got to wear this because someone said in the comments I should try this. Do you know what I mean? So it's just a whole lot better. As someone who grew up online, let me read the rest of the question. How has your fashion sense changed?
I mean, it was tough to get worse than when it started. I mean, I had the skinny jeans and the plimsolls and the top man V-shaped top on. Like, so it was only up, you know. I couldn't make it. I mean, unfortunately, I still haven't managed to sort out my trim, but one step at a time, we will get there. I don't know. Yeah, it's just one of those. I just started looking into more of the fashion stuff. And it wasn't even necessarily that I like woke up one day and I was there like, I need to look fashionable, because I still don't even think that's the case. I genuinely just think as I got older, I just got a little bit more interested in it and finding cooler bits of clothes. But I've never been one to be like, you'll never see me wearing something with like a big brand across it. Like, I really don't like loud clothes in terms of like, oh, look at me, I'm wearing XYZ. That doesn't do it for me at all. I'll always try and find like just be small somewhere. But it's so weird. Like, sometimes I'll go through phases where I'm really into like a lot of the hypebeast stuff and I'm, you know, like the Travis's and things like that. And then literally maybe 3 months later, I'll be there like, yo, I want to be looking like old money.
Yeah.
Like, I want, do you know like Laura Piana?
Yes.
Like all that. And I'll be looking there. And then sometimes I'll just look at the prices and I go, that's not for me. Like, I don't care enough to be paying. Because, bro, I'm not even joking. Have you seen the price of like a t-shirt from
there? Crazy, bro.
Is that
crazy.
Over a grand for a t-shirt?
They're mad.
Yeah. I'm like, And that as well is, you see when people look at Jeff Bezos and there's like this saying, or I don't know what the saying is, but there's this theme that's like, look at all the richest people in the world. They're not wearing
plain a white Louis tea. V.
They're playing, that plain white tee was probably about $2,500 from a brand in Italy made by some fucking grandma.
Like 10 in the world.
Yeah, there's like 10 in the world. Actually, you know what? It was probably custom made for him to fit him or her to look the way, you know what I mean? So that whole trope is just absolute waffle. So wear whatever the fuck you want to wear.
What was your first, when you came into like YouTube money a little bit, what was your first materialistic fashion or sneaker item you purchased?
Oh, damn. I should have thought about this one. I remember the first thing I did was I went on, and this won't be my final answer, but one thing probably, I went on Nike ID and I did my own Nike ID shoe. It was the worst thing, because that's gone now, right?
Yeah, I don't think they do it anymore.
And rightfully so, because what we as mere mortals need to realize is that we cannot design when I go there, I would just add like colors together. I remember when it arrived, I looked at it. I had my name on the heel of it.
Yeah, I've done the same.
I literally looked at it. I didn't wear it once. I put it at the bottom of my cupboard and I was like disgusted at myself. I was like, how could you have ordered these thinking this was going to look good?
Expensive as well.
And it was so expensive. Yeah. So I think that was like the first thing that I really got. I'm trying to think in terms of like designer item. I had this will be like 8 years ago, Givenchy. It was a crew neck, a black crew neck that said like love more or something on the front. Mm. Oh man, I've rinsed it though. Like I really liked the sweater, but yeah, I've rinsed it. It's not necessarily like, I don't look back at it and go like, oh, that's really cringy or whatever. But I don't know, like them type of sayings on the front, I'm a bit like, I'm not sure I'd wear that now.
Yeah, but that's just maturing though. I think I'm probably going through that phase a little bit now. Like my whole brand is built on like weird, buying weird shit like that and that. But like now, like, you know, it's a lot more low key and I think that's just growing up, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. Yeah, for sure.
What YouTuber spends the most on clothes and sneakers?
Ooh, who spends the most? I mean, JJ will just spend the most on clothes for sure, but it's a bit of a cop out answer. I know, like what Toby's doing with Ill Vision. I probably would say Toby. Simon collects sneakers though, so he has probably spent the most total.
Shit.
But in terms of what he wears, he's not one of those type of guys to just go and buy because it's a brand.
Yeah, you find out a lot of sneaker collectors and sneakerheads is that it's just sneakers. They're not that invested in like the stylistic element of it and the aesthetic, which is quite sick because it's like being true to yourself. But yeah, his collection's cool.
It happened like pretty quickly. He was there like, I'm just going to collect sneakers. And I wouldn't call him like a sneakerhead though.
Really?
Like he knows stuff about shoes, but when I think of a sneakerhead, I really think of somebody that's like obsessed with shoes.
Yeah.
He's not that. I would just call it, like, I just think he's a collector. Like, and he enjoys it. Like he likes having it. I think it's quite a cool thing to collect. I mean, I've always said I would like to collect something. I just don't know what that is yet. Like at one point I was there like, oh, maybe I should collect like the football cards that you get and start doing that. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll collect like retro kits. And then I was like, nah, no, maybe not really. So I would like to find something to collect. But I know, yeah, he's got those. And I was actually with Simon when he bought those Air Mags.
Yes, I saw that clip.
Yeah, the Back to the Future crap.
Because he bought the 2011 pair, which is the pair that doesn't lace automatically. So they've gone down in value. Yeah. But the other pair's gone up a lot, which released in 2016. And I think they're now, again, Aiden, you could probably get it up on StockX, but I want to say they're probably 30, 40K. Like the Nike Air Max, bro. I mean, they are...
What, 30 for the auto-lacing ones?
Yeah, and then Simon's ones are now... look, here we are. 60. Jeez.
60,000 GBP.
They're the 2016, bro. So I think they light up. They kind of auto-lace. They're pretty mad. But I mean, I couldn't rock them. like in my village. I couldn't walk around with them. I mean,
these aren't a shoe that you wear though. Yeah, right?
No, not really. But I would still want to wear them. I think all the shoes I have, I would want to wear.
You would wear?
Yeah, I think so. I was saying that I wouldn't wear 60k worth of kicks, but if I was in the position to buy them, I probably would try.
So what, Sam? Because I know, when I was with Simon, I forget what, it was in a vlog.
It was,
so people
will
be able to see, find the price from there. But yeah, I was with him. We were in Vegas and it was actually weird because I think the day before he was like to me, if I ever saw those shoes, I'd just buy them.
That's sick.
And then we were in one of those reselling shops and I was just walking around. And I saw them. I was like, Simon, they're literally right there. But I don't think he necessarily knew what was going to happen to them in terms of value. He's spoken to me about it. He said they're just not worth. He said he got a bit screwed on the price or whatever. But I always think in those type of shops, you kind of do they're just making, but fair play. At least he gave this one guy a fat commission. Like you should have seen the guy's face when he bought them. The guy was so excited because they're making a commission on each pair of shoes that they sell.
Yeah.
And so when you come in...
the actual retail assistant.
The retail assistant was like... you could see his eyes lit up. And Simon bought them so casually. I don't even know if he... I think he was going to buy them regardless of size. Because he was just like, I would just want to have these and collect. He had no intention of wearing them. I still don't think he's ever worn them. And he went to him and was like, they're like, yeah, I'll just buy them. And the guy was there like, what? I mean, I'm sure they get a lot of fraudsters in there trying to
flex with a camera.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was there like, no, seriously, I want to buy. He's like, all right, sir, I'll box these up like that. And this guy would not stop smiling. And so at least, even though the value of them went down, at least Simon gave that guy a
imagine it would have been a couple percent commission, but then that would have been
a lot.
A grand or something crazy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I reckon, the guy that sold it, and I reckon actually there's probably a bonus that if I was running that shoe store, I would have said to the entire floor staff, I'd say, there's £1,000 on top of your commission if you can sell this pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure that guy got a decent wedge out of it. But yeah, that was just a kind of a cool thing to witness. I've never seen a pair of shoes bought for that much money. So
yeah, mate, no, his Mini Miners sneaker collection is very
What else does he cool. have? Do you know?
Yeah, so he's got Chicago Off-White Ones, which are the red Chicagos.
How much do they go for?
Aiden, I want to say five, six grand,
really?
Yeah, not nowhere near the Air Mags. I mean,
no,
these
still
are
though, bro, 5-6 grand. What happened to the Dior Jordans?
Yeah.
Did they go up in price or did they? Because I know to begin with, they skyrocketed.
So there was about, I want to say about 3,800 pairs made at the high and maybe about 4,700 pairs made at the low. And again, Aiden, you probably get them up, but I don't know how much they go for now, but they I think they have gone down in price. But Air Dior Jordan 1s, just whack them on. And there's a low variation and a high.
Damn.
Yeah,
what were they retailing for?
I think about three.
Three grand.
I think, but I'm not sure. Again, I could be completely wrong. But this is way out of my bracket, bro. I mean, I haven't.
Do you collect anything?
We have sneakers, and then I kind of started Bear Bricks, which are the Medicom brand. And then I do a bit of Pokemon cards as well. We've used Randolph's grading company, Ace Grading, a few times.
Yeah.
They're dope,
awesome.
Bro. They're really good, man. Because I'm not an avid, probably a bit like what we mentioned before. I'm not an avid collector of Pokemon cards, but I buy cards I like the look of because I used to play to have in my childhood. And I will literally send them off to Ace Graden because I don't want to break them and I don't want to fuck them up.
Yeah.
So they're sick, man. And then they're kind of getting ready to go into this nice storage unit, this nice glass cabinet in my sick. Crib. So it should be cool.
Have you noticed value on those Bear Breaks? Do you keep track of any of that sort of stuff?
Nah, not now when I'm in a better financial position. But obviously if I had this maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, I probably would have been obsessed with looking at the price. I bought the Nike Tech Fleece Bear Brick from not, is it Selfridges? I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Selfridges, but they had like one in, like in the whole of the London store. Mm-hmm. And I had to do like a private buyer call. Call them up privately and they were like, hi, sir, we've just checked your details. I'll call you back afterwards. So I had to give them all my details. They call me back up and I had to pay like 750 quid for it. That's pretty cool. By the way. I really wish.
What is it worth now? Do you know?
Probably about 900, I think, maybe.
All right, so it went up. Yeah,
feel like. Yeah, but it was to celebrate the 10 years of a tech fleece. Now, I don't really wear tech fleeces, but I have made a lot of content about them.
I have seen your videos on them as well.
And they, they pop, man. They pop. That's the 100 to 400% one. You want to go to the 1,000% one. So they came in free. You've got 100% like this small, and then the 400's like, we don't have one here, but like that. And then.
Oh, damn, 1.3K now.
Yeah. Oh shit, it's got, it's gone down 33% from the last sale, but it is kind of like.
Yeah, you wouldn't have lost money on this, I don't think.
No, but that is like such an iconic like thing for Culture Force, you know? So that was like sick. So that was really cool to get hold of. And that experience of buying it from Selfridges or wherever I got it from, I really wish I documented that. I really, really wish that I could have been on the phone and I was going to send Meg to pick it up.
Oh, you just carry around like this grand of a verb. That would have been class.
They are fucking big. Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah. But thankfully they did next day delivery. So which I paid a fortune for. They didn't offer free delivery, which really pissed me off.
To be fair, though, what I would say is they're like, they probably would have done if you were getting like a normal pair of shoes. But this thing, like you said, is
yeah, that's true.
Wham. Like they would have lost a fair bit of money on the shipping of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's true. I actually got a message from, I think after that video, I got a message from Simon Miniminner.
Yeah.
And he hit me up and he wanted to do like this mystery box thing.
Yeah.
Which was sick. We haven't got around to doing it yet because.
Oh, you should definitely do that. I know Simon's always looking to do videos and stuff like that where, because I did a mystery box thing, but it was for watches.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that shit. Yeah,
Nico,
yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that was super cool. So I guess if you could be the Nico of the, Simon would love to do stuff like that.
Yeah, he's cool. I'm going to try and get him on the pod as well. He said he's keen, but he's not sure if he knows enough about it yet. But
I know, I'll be honest, I'm nowhere near knowledgeable about this type of thing. I mean, Simon will know more than me.
But I think that's the beauty of this podcast though, is because one, I'm obviously my whole life is about it, but I'm not that I'm not that guy who's like, oh bro, you need to cuff your car. That shit isn't really me at all. It's more about the collecting element and documenting, trying to buy this stuff. He said he's going to come on. I didn't chase him, I didn't double message or anything.
You should see him, man. To be fair, I know over the next couple of weeks he's away, but maybe in February he's knocking around.
We'll do something for sure soon. What else have I been told to ask? How is your sneaker collection?
My sneaker collection, you know what? I have a big problem. And my problem is I will buy a pair of shoes and I'll be like, this right here, these shoes, they cost a fair bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear them on nice events only. Next thing you know, I'm just wearing them to go to like the local bar and I'm just there like, then they get scuffed, get messed up.
Yeah.
And then I'm there the prime example is those Travis Scotts that I have, like they're already cooked. A bit fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I just can't collect and keep them in good condition. So I just said, you know what? I'm not going to become a sneaker collector. None of that, because there's clearly an issue here with my brain. And at the end of the day, I was there like, they're shoes. They were made to be worn. I'm going to just wear them.
That's what it is. That is the best. I think you're much more into sneakers than I imagine. You imagine you are, just from that attitude, because actual sneakerheads will have that mentality of wanting to wear the shoes. Even if like in, I don't know, you watch a sneakerheads video, they have like 200 pairs of kicks in the background. Most of those creators will wear all those pairs.
Yeah.
That's the kind of mentality they have, which is sick. Do you have a pair that you've worn the most?
I'll be honest with you, genuinely, these Notaways, the reason why these, they just go with everything.
Yeah, that's
so it. So I rinse these, and I'll be honest, I have five pairs of them, because when they do get too battered, I just get a new pair out. So absolutely these, I have to be honest with you, I'll put my hands up. I know people get stick for it, but I rinsed the 550s when they were out.
New Balance 550s.
I had like a few colorways of those. I don't really wear them too much anymore, but certainly the first half of 2023 and a lot, I think, of 2022, I was just rinsing. I wore a lot of those. What else were there? Dunks just come in handy because they're easy just to put in everything. So if I'm just going somewhere quickly, dunks just seem to work quite a lot. But other than that, there's not like, I am certainly not. One thing, I tell you what, that I never really got into were like Air Maxes and all that side. I never really got into that because I'll speak to people and they like know the exact numbers of certain things. And they're like, oh, those are these. And they're like, wow, like fair play.
Yeah.
Overall, not really like aware. I like wearing clothes that are supporting friends as well. So anytime a friend has either a brand or, you know, they want me, like, to be fair, Cal will send me a lot of shoes early and genuinely request, like, not bad feedback, but constructive feedback. Cause he'll just send me them and be there like, right, what? I don't really care what you liked. Like, just tell me what you didn't like about this. And so you should my conversations with him, like, I'll message him three months after wearing a pair of belt, I'd be like, bro, this bit of the shoe is fucked. Like, need to fix this or da da da, like bits and pieces like that. And I just say, oh, I'd much rather be wearing a shoe that I can at least help give feedback on than not.
I guess it helps when you do have one of your best mates with a massive sneaker brand.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hey, that's not for everyone.
They are sick though. I mean,
just go with everything. This is such an easy shoe. And I'm actually, they did the latest drop, which was, it's bad that I don't know the name of them.
The mountain types.
Yeah, they have like the special fabric on them. Yeah, and he was wearing those ages ago and I really wasn't sure about them. And I told him that. I was like, bro, I just don't know about these at all. And I told him that and he brought them out and now I really like them. It's not that one. It's not Gore-Tex either. Is it Gore-Tex?
I think it might. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I think it is. And it's got that on it and it's got a bit more of a...
It has that kind of weird texture, doesn't it?
What's that like style called?
Gorpcore.
Gorpcore.
Or Bloatcore, yeah.
What, Bloatcore?
Yeah, actually they're probably different things though. So Bloatcore is like, you know how we saw like the football shirt wave in the summer, like everyone wearing vintage shirts and like dad jeans? That's kind of like Bloatcore. Sorry, okay. And then Gorpcore is like...
Activewear.
Yeah, like outwear, like actual outwear. So what brands like Arc'teryx, North Face, shit like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
Much more technical.
So I think that's
maybe that's what it there,
if you click on those ones right there, like that's actually, I don't know. Actually, Instagram's dog water on desktop. But yeah, those ones there, I actually really like those ones. So those ones and these that I'm wearing just because they go with literally everything. It's sick.
Sweet. What was your first kind of merch venture? Now I know you said you've kind of hit like the success with your current merch, 165th.
Yeah.
What was your first merch venture?
You know what? The very first one was probably a collab thing that I did with Joe Weller, right when we had this Wheezy stuff going on. And that was really interesting. I mean, that was back in the day where it was very much slap a logo on a very basic t-shirt. Like the quality of them wasn't that great. But at the time, like that's just what we knew. And that was it really. Mm. I mean, how old were we? We were like early 20,
that's crazy,
21, something like that. So it was, that's just what it was. And I can't remember the numbers. I remember we had a few issues with the guy that we did it with. We ended up getting into a bit of a dispute with them. I can't remember. Whoever we were dealing with the Wheezy t-shirts, but they sold really well.
Sick.
It was like a box logo.
Yeah, I've seen it. The black and blue, wasn't it? Yeah.
And you know what? Like for back then, like even if someone were to wear them now, the fit was definitely way too like top man fit. But if you were to change the fit of them now, but kept the thing, I still quite like them. They're pretty cool. Me and Joe had those and they did well. Like,
damn,
they were some classic things and people still bring it up to this day. Like, yo man, I have a Wheezy tee. And I'm there like, wow. We used to go to certain like gaming events.
I've seen us
like
doing some research last night and I saw loads of people like lined up for more.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah. And that was a really cool experience. But yeah, I mean, you want to talk about YouTuber merchandise. Like that is this.
To a T. Yeah, that's dope. How did that kind of influence the your current merch, because that is, it's so different. What did you learn from this?
What did I learn? You know what, it was weird. Like I wouldn't necessarily say that that influenced any of the stuff that we did, because like I said, Chip, honestly, I really can't take too much credit for the 165 stuff, because Chip has, he's so involved in that creatively, and he's the one going back and forth. I think he probably took a look at the quality of those Wheezy tops and said, yeah, this man is not touching the 165 stuff. And that's probably the learning lesson there, is that I think for me, it's about understanding what my strengths are, and genuinely my strength is not in product when it comes to this type of thing, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And so to be able to step back and let somebody like Chip do it, I'm much more interested in like the marketing side of things, and we work quite well like that. He's very much like a product guy. He was actually Represent Now is, you know, absolutely massive, at least in the UK, and it's growing, and they're a real inspiration in terms of what they've managed to achieve. Chip was into Represent, and we're talking like, you know, right at the beginning.
Sick.
Like right at the beginning. So fair enough to him. And he, what's interesting, actually, we had George Heaton, owner of Represent, as I think he must have been like episode 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that, of Fellas. Like the very first season. I remember he rocked up and it was the smallest room ever. Like, if we've got this white wall here, it's smaller than this, our set, and there was no, he had like his friend, a friend of mine now actually, but at the time I didn't know him, and he struggled to find a place to sit in the room to watch the podcast, because like, imagine those, the cameras were backed up against the wall.
Yeah.
So not even the producer can check the angle. He would just have to be like, I'm pretty sure this is about right, because there was no way to look like, see the way it's popped up on here, like now on here, he can flick between the angles.
Yeah.
That was, we could not do that. And so I know when George Heaton rocked in, he was there like, what the hell am I going on here? Like, this is so amateur, but fair play to him. He was a lovely guy. And it's more his mindset and just the way he operates his life is inspiring. So
yeah, he's sick, man. He's
him and his brother.
They have killed it. He's definitely someone else we've got. When we first started like moving to the guest format here, we got kind of like a dream list of like what I did anyway, of like outlandish people who is really difficult to get on. He was right up there, because I think he would be a great guest. But yeah, so he also has also have their 24/7 range, which is their
24/7.
It's the fitness one. Yeah. So they've literally completely branched out, and it's crazy what they've done, because they've gone from having like the Represent Owners Club hoodies, which is just like a great fitting sweatshirt and hoodie, by the way. But it was just like kind of a print on the crest there and on the back, which was like very in trend with what was like trending then, like in 21 or 2020, whenever it was, to now moving to Represent normally, still killing it and having a much more intricate design and whatever. So also having this huge kind of fitness element about their brand, which is
I think the coolest thing about that wasn't it doesn't feel like it was that 247 stuff was built out of an opportunity. It was built because that's genuinely what he's into and what he loves. He's massively into fitness. If you follow him on anything, like he's always doing some mad challenge. And he was actually one of the first people that introduced me to the 75 hard challenge, which is a fitness challenge that I completed end of last year. He spoke about that challenge in that podcast. And I remember looking at him like, you're mad for doing that. Like, that is obscene. Like, what are you doing? And so the fact that he's done that, and I'm pretty sure he had spoken to me, whether on or off camera, about the idea of 247. And at the time, I think, I don't even know if they even had any products out, and it was just an idea for him, because I was in my head, I was like, oh, why don't you just do it as like a totally separate brand or whatever? And he still wanted it to be part of the Represent bubble. And so the fact that he has just made, and it's so much easier making a product if you're the one that like wants it and needs it. He was making the product for himself to use in while doing whatever fitness challenge he was doing. So it's so much easier. He could just wear it, him and all his friends that are involved in it. Well, just like, mate, all of you wear this. We'll go work out. We'll go for a run at the end. You tell me what needs to change. Like, that's sick.
Yeah, that's mad. Those boys have absolutely killed it. How did you find the 75-day challenge?
The 75, mate, I loved it. I saw you
posting a lot about it.
Yeah, I loved it. I had a great time. It was very, very eye-opening, and just in terms of what I am able to achieve personally if I really want something, I really get after it and I'm disciplined. And I think that was actually the main goal of the entire show, the entire challenge was to actually just give myself a bit of discipline and just, and the power of just saying no to things.
Yeah.
And that was really important for me. Was,
so that's like actual like exercise and then diet as well, right?
Yeah. Yes. Like I had a relatively strict diet thing. You know, I had to get a certain amount of calories in every day, but I said no fast food, no burgers because I love burgers. And I was there like, look, they're not even, you know, you can kind of have like a healthy burger, but I was there like, I'm just doing zero burgers.
Yeah.
So I stayed away from that. And yeah, like no fast food, no alcohol, none of that. And I just, I found myself saying no to a lot of social events that I would naturally go to, but not necessarily because I wanted to go to, but you know, just a case of FOMO or whatever. And I was just, at the time I was there like, no, I'm just not going to that because I need to be up. I need to do my morning workout and then I need to do my evening one. Like
yeah, it's dedication. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But it was so weird because I never woke up the next day. So at the time of saying no, I had the feeling of, I'm really missing out here. And then the next day when I would wake up, no part of me was there like, damn, I really wish I was there. Or that there was never any of that. So it's like this thing that you just build up in your head and you're just like, it's never that deep. Like yeah. Saying no is become like a really important thing about what is sort of part of my life now. Is before I'd very much struggled to say no to things.
I have something a little bit similar. Like I've just literally started going to the gym. Yeah. Like because I've been quite a lot of people know about my health, but I've been like unwell for a while. And it's funny you mentioned about your diet. So for me, I need salt, like loads of salt and sodium, right?
Yeah.
So I can actually, sometimes when I'm ill, not all the time, I couldn't live like this, but sometimes when I'm ill, I could actually eat shit and I'll be all right. So like Mackey's, yeah. Right? So Mackey's is really, really, it's not good for me, but in terms of me, it does help to a degree.
Yeah.
So that's kind of mad. So balancing that has been really, really hard because I don't eat loads of Mackey's or loads of fast food, but like it's been a really weird, difficult kind of discipline episode of my life where I've been having to try and balance everything. And I imagine that's probably what you had to go through, the 75-day challenge. Like balance is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, surely you can have like high sodium meals that aren't fast food.
Yeah, you can. Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I have to eat. I have loads of electrolytes. Like I don't drink normal water, just electrolyted water.
That's what I got on recently, electrolytes.
Yeah. Sick. Do you have the
sachets and put it into water?
Oh, nice. So I have the tablets you put in and they dissolve. Okay. So they dissolve into effectively the same thing. But yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Like unbelievable. But a normal person can't have too much because it's difficult for their body to process. But I have like so little sodium, like it's really important.
That's really interesting.
To keep it. Yeah, it's good. Well, it's not good at all, but no. It's
good that you know about it though.
Yeah, I mean it's
how did you find out about that?
I was ill since 2020. And then I got diagnosed in April 2023.
Yeah.
Probably literally the best day of my life. I've never ever felt an emotion like it. I remember seeing
your TikTok, yeah.
I would literally imagine it being like, I'm a huge Watford fan. I would imagine it being like Watford winning Champions League. It was like the best, which is never ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was like the best thing ever. And then the doctors and kind of forums and stuff, because I was diagnosed with something called POTS, which is relatively boring. But actually, someone in your office.
The studios.
Yeah, she was so nice, man. So Aidan brought her down and that was sick. That made me really kind of like not fall in love with the pod, but like really like feel like comfortable.
Yeah.
Which is really, really important. No, I just had someone come in and just she'd be like, oh shit, I have it. And it wasn't anything like pitying or belittling or being like, oh, it was just like, oh shit, I've gone through this, haha, type thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think even it's amazing as to how much uncertainty you live with when you're essentially just going through like a dark passage when you have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Like that's the worst bit, right? It was just like not knowing. And then the moment that you actually get that diagnosis, it's like, you know, it could have been like a bad diagnosis, but at least you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I was like begging for it. Usually it's like no good news is good news. But for us, it was the complete opposite. When we get to that point of being unwell for that amount of time. But yeah, it's bet we're getting there, mate. Getting there slowly.
That's sick.
It rinses the bank account. Private healthcare is not cheap.
Oh shit!
All
yeah.
private. All no. private. And I didn't have insurance at the time. Now I do. But like, yeah. So you can't get it on that insurance because it's a pre-existing thing. So
yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That is such so a pain much in money, the ass. Bro. That is expensive, boy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Right. Talking about money, something else yes. I wanted to talk about, which is a really trending subject at the moment, is kind of TikTok's monetization compared to YouTube. Yeah. So obviously, recently, for those who don't know, TikTok have brought out a beta creativity fund where people over creators can make money from videos over 1 minute plus. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's been around on YouTube for ages. And I imagine YouTubers make a core amount of their money through that type of process. I don't even know what that's called. What's it called on YouTube?
What? Just like YouTube ads?
Yeah, like yeah. AdSense and shit like that. Yeah.
There's no fancy terms.
Yeah. Yeah. So that TikTok have basically done something like that to a smaller degree.
Yeah.
And I wanted to chat about that.
Yeah, TikTok's a weird one. You're always going to get more views on TikTok. It's easier to get more views, but it's how you value those views. And so they go back and forth about, you will, in terms of CPMs, and that's kind of is it's at the cost per view, per 1,000 views. And they naturally are different on TikTok. TikTok with the creative beta program has really leveled up. Like there was always going to be a really difficult challenge monetizing short form content just because of like, how do you show ads to something that's only 30 seconds long? Like YouTube, they didn't even have mid rolls on to anything that was anything shorter than 10 minutes.
Yes, man.
So
yeah.
It was, you know, how the hell were you going to do that on like a 30, 20 second long video? To be fair, they have it now where it's like the video has to be over a minute long. And yeah, there's a lot. I think it's great. More people can make a living from making their own type of content. It also does kind of force like weird things, and people like to be more sensationalist now because it's very different when you're just making content for the sake of enjoying making or even just growing and things like that. You just make content, but the moment you say there's money involved, people's perspective immediately switches and it's like, right, how can I make the most amount of money instead of making the best content? It switched to how can I make the most amount of money. And on TikTok we definitely saw that switch, and people now making minute long videos, and it said like, yeah, but one, this didn't have to be a minute long. It loses like a lot of the virality. One of the reasons why TikToks were going so viral is because, you know, you can get through 1,000 TikToks in a day. If they're all a minute, you're not getting through 1,000 TikToks. So yeah, it's interesting compared to YouTube. Like YouTube for me is like, is the baby. They're the best. Google are unbelievable at monetizing. It's such a fantastic place to have a community, to build a core audience. And I truly believe it still is the best place. But the fact that TikTok's brought this in is game changing. And I don't see why, you know, the fact that you can have both, you know, myself, you, whatever, you can have your YouTube monetization, you can have your TikTok monetization. I think it's just a win for everyone. It's a win for creators in general.
Yeah, I also think it's a win for like the creatives because you do have to make better content on TikTok. Yeah. So previously TikTok was basically like this was years ago when it started popping, it was much more like a Vine as opposed to a YouTube, but now it's probably closer to YouTube than it is Vine.
Interesting.
So like my content, for example, the video put out 2 days before yesterday, today was over two minutes long. That's crazy for TikTok. And that I've always, over the last year, I've posted longer videos before, even before the fund. So that was, it's been quite a smooth transition for us, which has been really sick. But yeah, mate, the amount, you do see some trash with it, but it is interesting now what's happening. I guess the one benefit for me, aside from the financial gain from it, which I don't get too much, like crazy amount.
Yeah.
For my views, I should get way more, but because I got quite a young audience, I think the RPM or whatever it's called is quite low.
Yeah,
it's not that high at all. But you do get to spend more time with your audience, and you probably do build a little bit of a core audience as opposed to you do on 15, 30 second videos, which is nice. Sure. And it definitely benefits people like myself who are like predominantly TikTokers.
Yeah.
And kind of have that like higher quality TikTok content. You know, I have literally an editor who works for me all the time, a full time, and you know, we spend
just churning them out.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, but it's like really quite. If I would imagine it's not it's not a YouTube process for sure, because that shit is like a TV show, right? But like it's definitely closer to that than it is like a normal normal traditional TikToker, or what older people would value as a TikToker.
What's the most amount of money you made in a month off of it?
After,
just the creator,
probably like 2.53.
Yeah.
Not anything. I mean, that's great money. I'm not, that's really good money. Yeah. But in terms of like brand deals are still superior for main income.
And is that how you, I was going to say, is that your main?
And also I have other stuff on the side, like create our own businesses. Like I watched, there's a really interesting thing, which you would like this, but Emma Chamberlain did this like big, massive like podcast for like 4 hours, and she broke down like how she thinks like business in this space is gonna continue, and being a creator is gonna continue, and how to master it. And she was basically expressing that creator owned businesses will be the next, I guess, exactly what you boys have done, and to what I'm trying to do to an extent, is because you have like that ambassadorship without actually having to find an ambassador. You can naturally have that like organic ambassadorship, which is like mad. So
it's true, man. I totally think that. I mean, I know she was doing like her coffee stuff, and she's wildly successful. So yeah, she's sick.
Yeah. Big fan. Someone else who has popped off recently and has spoken about the beta program of Flex, how much he's making, is Bebo. You seen him?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I have seen him. I mean, I've only seen, I'm talking like 6 second clips of him just like swallowing a whole chicken, but I'm well aware of, like, I saw the tweets. I've seen it. It's just, it's mad. What was his number?
So he said, right, he was doing a live stream, I think it was Ed Matthews. He made 10K in October or November. But since then, I reckon it's probably 20. I think it's probably about 20K.
Really? You reckon someone is making 20K off of the creator thing?
Yeah.
100%. Well, I mean, what if you're let's say the RPM on that is £1?
Yeah.
You're looking at, what is he doing? 200 million views a month?
I don't know what he's doing, but there was a point in, I think it was November, December, where he was hitting, you know, every video was kind of like 3, 4, 5 million, and then a couple of them went big numbers, like,
oh, really? Okay.
like 10 million plus.
Oh, and
like,
wow, yeah.
17 there, 9 there, 7, 8.
Yeah, man, he's doing his thing. You know what? Like, you can take the piss out of whatever him, whatever you want. But at the end of the day, like, fair enough. Get your money up.
Yeah, bro. He's
I don't think he's like harming anyone doing this, right?
No, he's not. He's not.
I know there's been a bit of controversy, but for the most part, like, bro, if you're just sitting down, just
eating food,
sort of just like swallowing things whole, bro, that's all you, man.
The thing is with it is, obviously he's came into a lot of money really, really, really quick, and he's got a lot of, I saw Angry Ginge has been, he's had been reacting to a few of his clips.
Oh yeah.
And Bebo's been flexing his Rolexes and his, I imagine.
Are they real?
I don't know, but he was pouring water on one, so I imagine it's a dive watch or whatever, like all the rappers do, like with their Submariners and shit. So,
oh man, fuck it. Like, that's fun. That's just funny. Like, yeah, some people, they're gonna blow the cash. Like, it's the internet. You gotta have people like this to keep us entertained. Like,
you do.
I just think that's gold.
Yeah, you're a big watch guy, actually, aren't you?
Yeah, I like watches. In the same sense as to Simon is to sneakers, I am to watches. Like, I know, you know, a bit about watches, but at no point would I say I'm on any expert level or anything like that. But I can absolutely appreciate a good watch. It's just a bit of a shame that, yeah, I just don't, like, as you can see, I don't wear, I've got my Whoop on right now,
yeah,
but I don't wear watches around London anywhere.
No,
London. I go on holiday, like you go to Dubai, wherever the hell you go, I'm much more comfortable wearing them there.
Yeah, I see Nico hit a lot of his videos, and he always talks about how sad it is that you can't rock your favorite kind of wrist piece in London. It's just so dangerous, bro. Like, so dangerous. Because even relating back to garments, I made a video, and that was because there was an article last week or 2 weeks, or just before Christmas actually, how people are now being mugged for Canada Goose jackets and even North Face jackets.
I saw your video on this. Yeah. That was, bro, why, like, a Canada Goose jacket is how much?
Probably a K. It varies. But
it just sounds so much more difficult to rob a jacket than it is to just snatch someone's phone. Like, a phone is going to go for $1,000.
Yeah.
Right? And these lot will, like, you've seen those videos of, like, the police, like, unpacking some of these guys' backpacks, and they have, like, no joke, like, 100 phones in there.
Yeah.
Right? You can't fit 100 Canada Goose jackets in your backpack. Like, it just seems such a weird thing to... to steal.
Yeah, I mean, mate, it's a really big thing at the moment. Like, that's kind of like the, I think because people have stopped, genuinely stopped wearing watches, like especially anything over a certain value, even like entry level,
so they're just moving on to the next thing. I think
they probably are just moving on to what other people with money wear, which is designer jackets. Oh,
people are just going to start rocking around in their boxers, man.
Mate, it's crazy, man. Like, it's mad, so.
That's wild. And that sucks. And it makes me really sad that is the state of our country, of the UK. And, you know, I know it's a problem mainly in London, but certainly it exists elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that people can't wear the things that they've bought. And, you know, these people that are doing it, you know, it's very easy to judge them. And, you know, it's never the right thing to do, but the circumstances in the UK are just abysmal.
Yeah, completely fucked. Well, on that very happy note, I think we'll bring it to an end.
Let's go. Please don't rob me. Please. The idea of being robbed sounds ass. So don't do it, please.
Fingers crossed.
And like I said, I don't wear watches. I don't wear designer stuff. I got Nike socks though.
No. Yeah, maybe
it gets that bad. If it ever gets that bad where they take my Nike socks, then
so we're down bad.
So be it. Who knows? And thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
No, bro. Thanks for making the podcast.
No, that's all right.
Thanks for having me here, literally. So yeah, big up, people. Thank you very much for watching. As always, every Monday, 6 p.m. Thanks again, Kyle.
That's all right.
And I'll see you in the next one, available on all the platforms, Spotify, wherever, YouTube. Run it up. Sweet.